Hare Krishna. It's a real pleasure to be here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, such an important project in our movement. And I can see how much development is happening here. I serve in the department of the cows and the agriculture, and we've been traveling, and I was in touch with the team, and the plan seems good. There's even a school coming up, and that school is looking at how to get expert devotees that are already here and bring up that knowledge. So that was very exciting to hear. And from a global perspective, cow protection is going higher on the leaders' agenda. That's good news for us. And I was very happy to be here in such a noble assembly of devotees, and the Bhaktivedanta Manor, as usual, with its nobility, preaching to the ones who actually defeated or tried to defeat the Vedic culture. So this project is actually giving a reply to that attempt. Anyway, today we're supposed to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there's many verses here, so you may get confused, but actually we're going to recite the Madhya 3, text number 6. Translation says, as a Brahman from Avanti Desha said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nascence by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's a nice purport. It says, in connection with this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.23.58, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyasa is a regulative principle. If one accepts a sannyasi order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1, it's also stated, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotyaha sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyasi, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. The word Paramatma Nishtam means being devoted to the Lord Krishna. Paramatma, the Supreme Person, is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyasi dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Later, Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a three dandi was Paramatma Nista. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the three existing dandas. The Vaishnava sannyasi is known as a three dandi sannyasi. The Mayavadi sannyasi accepts only one danda, not understanding the purpose of three danda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atmanista, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Shankaracharya. Instead of accepting 108 names, those in Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Shankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyasa. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then existing order of sannyasis, namely Ekadanda, he still recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Tridanda sannyas without Paramatmanista, devotional service to the Lord, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regulative principles, one should add the Jiva Danda to the Tridanda. These four dandas, bound together as one, are symbolics and unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Because the Ekadanti sannyasis of the Mayavadi school are not devoted to the service of Krishna, they try to merge into the Brahman effulgence, which is a marginal position between material and spiritual existence. They accept this impersonal position as liberation. Mayavadi sannyasis, not knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Tridandi, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an Ekadandi sannyasi. This is due to their vivarta, bewilderment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no such thing as Ekadandi sannyasi. Indeed, the Tridandi sannyasi is accepted as a symbol representation of the sannyasa order. By citing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyasi order recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadi sannyasis, who are enamorated by the external energy of the Lord, cannot understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To date, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following his footsteps accept the sannyasa order and keep the sacred thread and a tuft of unshaved hair. These Ekadandi sannyasis of the Mayavadi school give up this. Therefore, they are unable to understand the purport of Tridanda sannyasis and sannyasa, and as such, they are not inclined to dedicate their lives to the service of Mukunda. They simply think of merging into the existence of Brahma because of their disgust with material existence. The acharyas who advocate the Daiva Varnashram, the social order of Chaturvarnyam mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, do not accept the proposition of Asura Varnashram, which maintains that the social order Varna is indicated by birth. The most intimate devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Gadadhar Pandit, accepted Tridanda sannyasis and also accepted Madhava Upadhyaya as his Tridandi sannyasi disciple. It is said that from this Madhvacharya, the sampradaya known as the West India, as the Vallabhacharya sampradaya has begun. Srila Gopal Bhatta Bose, who is known as the Smriti Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, later accept the Tridanda Sannyasa order from Tridandi Pada Prabodhananda Saraswati. Although acceptance of Tridanda Sannyasi is not distinctly mentioned in the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, the first verse of Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita advocates that one should accept the Tridanda Sannyasi order by controlling the six forces. Pacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, yuva vegam, udaparasta vegam, ettam vegam, yo visaheta dira sarvam apimam, privitim sashishat. One who can control the forces of speech, mind, anger, belly, tongue, and genitals is known as a Goswami, and is competent to accept disciples all over the world. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never accept the Mayavadi order of sannyasi, and they cannot be blamed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sridhara Swami, who was a Tridandi sannyasi, but the Mayavadi sannyasis, not understanding Sridhara Swami, sometimes think that Sridhara Swami belonged to the Mayavadi Ekadanda sannyasi community. Actually, this was not the case. There are a few verses which we'll just read very briefly, so that the first one is the 94th verse. I'll just read the English, so it becomes. So here it's concluding about the ecstatic symptoms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying, according to the Parampara system, I wish, here is the author saying, I wish to take the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodara, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. I wish to take the dust of their lotus feet upon my head. In this way, I wish to be blessed with their mercy. Receiving orders from the above-mentioned authorities and the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, especially from Haridas, the priest of Govindaji, I, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, have tried to describe one small particle of one drop of the wave of ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we start chapter 3, and it says, after accepting the sannyasa order of life, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love of Krishna, wanted to go to Vrindavan. But apparently by mistake, he wandered into the Radhadesh. Later he arrived in Shantipura and enjoyed himself there with his devotees. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda. All glories to Advaitacharya. All glories to devotees of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas. At the end of the 24th year, in the month of Magga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyasa order during the waxing period of the moon. After accepting the sannyasa order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love of Krishna, started for Vrindavan. However, he mistakenly wandered about in a trance continuously for 3 days in the tract of land known as Radhadesh. There's a little purport here. It says, the word Radhadesh comes from the word Rastra, or state. From Rastra, the perverted word Radha has come. The part of Bengal on the western side of the Ganges is known as Radhadesh. Another name is Pandradesh. The word Pandra is a perverted form of the word Pendu. It means that the capital of Rastradesh was situated in the part of Bengal. And finally, passing through the tract of land known as Radhadesh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the following verse in ecstasy. That was the verse that we have just read. Om Agyana Timirandasya Yanam Janam Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Jena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namah Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasaji Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I take permission from my seniors who are here present so I can speak on this topic of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is a beautiful topic, and actually these pages we've read could be spread in so many days of discussions. And there is a few important points which this verse is bringing to us. The first part of here, there is a very nice proposition, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually speaking about this Brahman who was being insulted, who was being rejected, and finally he does accept sannyas, and he leaves. And he leaves. And in the verse, it says that he did not, indifferently he left. So this verse establishes for us what is the mood of the sannyasi ashram. The sannyasi ashram is indifferent to the world. And that's a very important point. Because the sannyasi ashram, being at the head of society, it is its goal is to preach, is to glorify the position of Krishna, as we have read through these pages. So in this case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually speaking about the importance of accepting sannyas. Because some may argue, but is that really necessary? And here he says, yes, it's part of our system. It's part of our ashram system. And this is interesting because during the class I will explore this point, how Prabhupada, when he was giving what he gave us, he already gave a great part of what we think we don't have, and that is Varnashram. The ashram part is being described very well here. You see, there's a sannyasi, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing the reference why we accept that. And in some lines, it's believed that sannyas really started with the impersonalist, with Sankaracharya. But in this purport, Prabhupada is bringing the point that much before, it's already accepted within the Vaishnava tradition. And only later on, the Shankaracharya school, using the sannyas as the ekadanda, then was preaching that this was the only authorized sannyasi line. Just like over time, a certain preaching mission becomes less, and they came up. So they were thinking, we are the real sannyasis. We have this ekadanda. And it raises many questions, because the ekadanda sannyasis, they have in their internal process a certain mood, which Prabhupada talks about. But before we go into the mood, I want to talk about the process. Here, Prabhupada mentions in another part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 34, he mentions something very interesting. He says, before someone enters into the sannyasi ashram, he has to serve under a sannyasi. He has a mentorship time. And like, this is a very important principle, because when we think about education, there are some universal principles, and here's a universal principle, that the real learning starts when you have a mentor. And here, Prabhupada is saying that a sannyasi would take guidance from a senior sannyasi, and then he'll take sannyas. And we can see, even today, when you look at your modern education, the real learning starts when you have a master degrees, a PhD degrees. And if you have a look, the characteristic of that learning, you have an orienter. Now, my father is an orienter. He has many students under him studying genetics, biology. And they accept him. And it's that relationship which enables the learning. But there is a misconception today that we think that the knowledge will come by content. And the aspect which is being put here is that you need to have a relationship with the teacher in order to have knowledge. That's the Vedic perspective. Depending on the satisfaction of the teacher, the student will get the knowledge. And we have an example of that. There is Keshava Kashmir, who was a very proud scholar. And he had a special... he was a Digvijaya. He was traveling and defeating philosophers all over. And he came to Navadvipa, and all the Brahmins were really, really, really scared. So there was an istagosi like this, and the Brahmins were discussing who would meet this fearsome scholar who was going to defeat them. And they said, well, what about if we choose Nimai? Nimai is just a boy. If he's defeated, what is the problem? He's just a boy. If he wins, all glory is to our school. So Nimai, thinking like that, he thought, well, he's a respected scholar. Let's have it. Now let's have the meeting at the evening time when it's a notice. So even if he's defeated, nobody will notice. So that reveals the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is not a mood of compression and domination, but a mood of compassion and empowerment. So in that meeting, he was asked, Nimai asked him, could you compose a poem for Mother Ganga? And he did. And after he did, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenged him, says, oh, it's beautiful. He says, well, so what do you think? But there are many faults in your poem. And he says, faults? How can I have any fault? And he was trusting that his guiding light, which was Mother Saraswati, would never fail him. But in that time, he found himself speechless. He could not speak. And that is a sign that only when the teacher or the master is pleased, that knowledge passes. In that case, it was blocked because Mother Saraswati told him in a dream, he's my master. I cannot go against him. So you should surrender to him. And the reason why that is because the chit potency needs to come in a descending way. And the teacher is the conductor of that. And in the material world, when someone becomes very famous or profound in one field, he has that shakti from the material energy, and then he can deliver. Therefore, someone who is studying astrophysics, quantics, philosophy, goes for a teacher who is exactly teaching that, because he wants to capture the mood. And then, here, one question that may be raised very genuinely is, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking sannyasi from a Mayavadi teacher. Isn't he going to capture that mood? And then there's a whole elaboration, Prabhupada does speak about that. And that elaboration is basically describing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that the people in Navadvip were starting to become ready to criticize him. And he says, I am the teacher who came to give bhakti, to save the world. If they start criticizing me, what is their hope? So immediately his mind started to think of a plan in which they would respect him. And to respect him, he needed to be in such a position, and the position was of a sannyasi. So therefore, in that time, the Shankara sect was very well established in North, South, East India. They had different ashrams. And from those ashrams, they would be initiated. So he decided that he would accept initiation as a social tool to preach. And when he did that, he did an amazing thing. Because before the initiation, he confirmed, I just wanted to check, Guruji, the mantra is this. And then he recites the Bhagavatam mantra into the Guru's ear. So I should say reverse initiation. He initiated the Guru. Because the mood is, now here's a very important message. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took into consideration time, place, circumstance. Because as God, he could just say, what is the problem? I don't need to take this into consideration. I just can preach and that's it. But he took all the elements into consideration to preach effectively. And that is a very important subtle point for us who are all missionaries. Because if you don't take into consideration, rather you think, I have the truth, I'm entitled to give the truth because I belong to this truthful, genuine institution who knows the absolute truth, therefore I should just come and deliver. We used to think of a tractor or a truck which comes and dumps all the content down, and now the other has received the content and we drive away saying we have accomplished our mission. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not thinking in these terms. He's thinking, what is my strategy so these souls will accept the message of Sri Krishna? And that is a very important mood. And then Prabhupada, in his purport in this Adilila, he brings a more important point. He says, real sannyasi means accepting the service of Sri Krishna. That is real sannyasi. And as an example of that, we have London. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was working with the British, thinking about how to give this message to the British, sent sannyasis here with a good allowance of funds. Someone said something like $5,000 in today's currency they had to do their preaching work monthly. And what was their conclusion? It's not possible to convert British people into devotees, dear Guru Maharaj. It's not possible for us to do this. But some years later, three couples come here with not enough funds even to enter the border of the UK. They enter. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Ki Jai. And they came equipped with something which reflected the true sannyasi mood. And that was the desire to please Sri Krishna. And day and night, the only meditation of those pioneer devotees was to please Krishna. And because of that, the chit potency comes to a degree that they can break into a party of an India ambassador and be accepted. They can mingle with the top stars of the country and be accepted. They can invite a restaurant, a dinner party. They didn't have chairs. And they got away with somehow away with that. So what is this element which was so convincing and attractive? It was the element of sannyas, giving everything for Krishna. Actually, I was in Brazil once giving a lecture to a theosophic school. And they ask, we used to see so many Hare Krishnas on the streets, we don't see you anymore. What has happened? And one of my friends attempting to kind of tell him, historically, yes, we were all brahmacharis, but then we got married, we got jobs, and we need to get our occupations going. And he says, how interesting. We were so attracted how successful people were giving up their professions to join a spiritual movement. And you're telling me that spiritualists are leaving their spirituality to join the corporate, the world of jobs. He says, this is just a simple comment. And that was so revealing to me, because that revealed the exact point that Prabhupada is making here, that it is that sannyas spirit which is attractive. That's what's going to convince the world. The spirit that I'm doing the work of Krishna through the lenses of my spiritual master. And that this knowledge passes on through teacher-disciple. Therefore, relationship is the key element of transmission. It's not content. It's not that I was able to do a PowerPoint. I was able to get so many points together. That's not the point of definition. It is the point of the chit potency coming through. And that comes through from this phenomenon, this point, that I want to do the service of Krishna by pleasing the spiritual master. And that is the main point. So when we look at Varnashram, which Prabhupada does mention in this verse, he already gave the ashram for us. And more, the third ashram, which is the most hard to define, which is the Vanaprastha ashram, no one knows where it starts, no one knows where it ends, it's kind of gray area. But once I was discussing with His Holiness Shiva Ramaswamy, and he was saying, it's amazing how devotees are not planning the Vanaprastha ashram. We plan the Grihastha quite well, or reasonably well, better and better. The Brahmacharya is well defined. But the Vanaprastha ashram is kind of not so well defined. And he says, we should, because that's a moment when you have kind of accomplished your main duties in life, and now you're kind of free again to dive, to plunge into pure devotional service, in full-time devotional service, and relish that knowledge inside your heart. And that was his vision for Sri Mayapur, a place where devotees would just plunge. Imagine a big high rock in the beautiful crystal lake, and you are anticipating if you should jump or not. What if I jump? What will happen? And then all of a sudden you say, yes, and you jump. That moment of anxiety before you hit the water is what we're afraid of. But if you plunge and you have that belief or that deeper value that Krishna is protecting, That is the chit potency which people want to see on the streets. That's what made people attracted to Krishna. And this point is being pointed out here. So Prabhupada did give in Varnashram the ashram part of it. And from the Varna, the Brahminical culture was very well elaborated for him. So many, look at the level that deity worship has reached. You don't see that in India, in Indian temples. You see in ISKCON temples. Therefore, ISKCON in India is considered a top institution because the level, the standard of deity worship is so well respected. Now we are making endeavors to make that also, that cow protection in ISKCON has a standard that when someone approaches it says, wow, what an amazing sight. And for some time, people were thinking, therefore, Varnashram means farms. If so, let's all go to the farm. And that was a misconception. Varnashram does not mean farms. Of course, the farm is an ideal space because the Varnashram culture Prabhupada refers to depends on natural economy, producing from the land. And why is that? Because when you produce, you have. So if you have food, you don't need to buy food. So if your seller says, okay, I'm only going to sell your milk for 30 pounds a liter. You say, all right, you can, because I already have mine. So if you have your product, you are secure in your existence. So that's why Prabhupada emphasized so deeply farm communities, a place, an environment where you could practice bhakti using so many of these principles. You could have a family and not have to go to the rat race. Get a job. Make sure that you're on the employment rate. You could have a space. If you have a house, you have food, you're pretty much covered. Just to cover these 2 points here, I reckon you need about 1,500 pounds to 2,000 pounds, depending where you live. So you can imagine, if you live in such a community, maybe which much less you could live, and so much less pressure. In India, one can live reasonably well with 500 pounds. And then you have more time for spiritual life. So that was his point on farm communities. He wanted to show. And also, if you don't have a farm community, you don't have the lifestyle, because you have to work so hard. What happens to your sadhana? What happens to your associations of your children? What happens to your social fabric? So many issues which I'm sure all of us share in our daily lives. So that was a very important point. And coming back and finalizing the verse, there's so many other things about sannyasis we could speak, but I think I covered the message I wanted basically to give, is that Prabhupada already gave the majority of Varnashram, and now we are in a moment where we need to further that development, because that's how society will develop. Real community will come when all these leadership skills are manifested, and then the congregation can be protected and can have their elements, basic elements, good food, good grains, good milk to give your society. To give enough grains and ghee to the deities that you don't have to run around make donation marathons. It's already collected by the beginning of the year. We have the ghee, the grains, everything for the whole year. It's there, stocked by our own production. Doesn't matter if Britain opts for Brexit, we're still here. We're still strong. We're still our community. So these were some of the thoughts. I'll give some 5 minutes for questions, maybe.